This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
People who peacefully protest for an issue, they're not throwing bottles and chairs. And so we know that we have acknowledged and saw across the country, there are people who come, have nothing to do with the issue, and they want to aggravate. We can't have outside agitators come in and be destructive to our city.
Why change now? Isn't that the whole point of New York City? That's Mayor Eric Adams in New York with a little cough thing in the middle. And we can't have people coming in and acting like we act all the time. That'd ruin everything. Columbia University, New York City. The rising tide of a new kind of Nazism. Our Democrat Party. I would like to get to our mailbag. It's Mailbag Wednesday. I have something of a history of plowing through a three-hour show and saying, oh yeah, I didn't get to the mailbag. Because they give us too much, the crazy people do. And so let me get to the mailbag right now. I have the questions, two pages in my hand. And I have one that came in a letter form, handwritten letter form. I want to save that one for last. It's sort of a fun one. Let me start with the top of the mailbag, T-Bone, who asks the question. He says, "Hi, Chris. I'm least of all a fan of Mitch McConnell, but I believe his greatest accomplishment was keeping Merrick Garland off of the Supreme Court. Do you agree?" And then he has some very nice language. "So I love your show. I always get up on time to listen to your brilliant, humorous, and informative show. You're the best." That's not why his question was chosen, though. His question was chosen. And not by me. I don't choose the questions either, but Kevin chooses the questions. And although this one came in the mail, so Michael Piercy, I got that one. So, least of all, fan of Mitch McConnell, but I believe his greatest accomplishment was keeping Merrick Garland off the Supreme Court. Certainly, that is a spectacular accomplishment. Now, honestly, Mitch McConnell is the turtle. I've always called him the turtle because he reminds me of one of those old World War II cartoons of a turtle that comes home at the end of a hard day's work and hangs his shell up on a hook on the back of the door, you know, and says, "Doop, dee, doop, dee, doop." Because he's a turtle boy. Now, a lot of people call him the turtle. That kind of caught on a bit, the turtle thing. But I got to say, Mitch McConnell is a boring old bureaucrat who has been there for a very long time, and he knows the rules of the Senate as well as anyone ever has. Going back to Robert Byrd, the KKK Democrat, he was the master of the rules of the Senate, and Mitch McConnell became the master of the rules of the Senate. Now, when Harry Reid, also known as Harry the Body Reid, when Harry Reid was the Democrat majority leader in the Senate, he abused his power because he is now deceased, but they named an airport after him in Las Vegas, Nevada. And Harry Reid corrupted the entire system because he was a Democrat, and therefore he was corrupt personally and politically. And Harry Reid decided during the Obama administration that you would no longer need a 60-vote majority in the Senate, a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate, to confirm federal judges, right? Because he was rushing all these corrupt, left-wing, filthy Barack Obama nominees through the process, knowing they could never make it because they're incompetent and crazy and they can't tell you what a woman is and they don't know what the Constitution is or the Bill of Rights, and They don't know anything. They're a bunch of idiots, but they're left-wing radicals, and Barack Obama wanted them on courts. And Harry Reid was a racist, so he said, we'll do whatever Barack Obama wants, and we will throw out the rules of the Senate, and we'll give the bum's rush to all of Barack Obama's crooked left-wing radical judicial appointees. And Mitch McConnell at the time, you may recall, warned them that they might regret doing that.
The rest of you guys in the conference should know better. If you want to play games, set yet another precedent that you'll no doubt come to regret. Say to my friends on the other side of the aisle, you'll regret this, and you may regret it a lot sooner than you think.
That was Mitch McConnell sounding much younger during the Obama years than he... 2013, is that right? Well, and because this fight was going on and Harry Reid was corrupting the system. And Mitch McConnell said, you might regret that, and sooner than you think. And Mitch McConnell was right, because he is and was a master of the rules. And the Republicans were in the minority then, right? But Mitch McConnell warned Harry Reid and the Democrats, you may regret that. And then guess what? They lost the majority in the Senate, the Democrats did, and they lost the White House. Donald Trump was in the White House. Donald Trump, very key, picked Brett Kavanaugh. You remember what they tried to do to him with their filthy made-up stuff with that lunatic woman who needs two front doors and can't fly on planes unless you send a private jet, and nobody remembered the story that she was telling decades later, and her own family didn't support her and all that. But President Trump got Brett Kavanaugh, who was slandered and maligned by the left, as they slander and malign Clarence Thomas, the great Clarence Thomas. And they try to ruin you and destroy you because they're filthy, corrupt people, and they have a lot of power and they abuse it. But Mitch McConnell warning them that the corrupt Harry Reid was doing something that they would regret. And then Mitch McConnell shoved it down their throats with a splintery stick. Here you go. You don't need 60 votes anymore. Here is Justice Brett Kavanaugh, who's a great Supreme Court justice. Here is Justice Neil Gorsuch. Oh, isn't that wonderful? That's isn't that great? Actually, as Neil Gorsuch came first, if I remember correctly. And then Brett Kavanaugh, and then Amy Coney Barrett, three outstanding justices, and Mitch McConnell keeping Merrick Garland, who we now see as corrupt as hell, just a corrupt Democrat, as Attorney General, doing nothing but the party's bidding, which is what Sonia Sotomayor does, and it's what all the left-wing radicals do. They're there to serve and service the party, not protect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the rule of law. They're Democrats first, and they just got these great jobs. And honestly, I think the greatest job in government is Supreme Court Justice. I've thought that since I was a child. Wonderful stuff. But Mitch McConnell sticking it to the Democrats and to Harry Reid and to the Obamaites and taking control of the Supreme Court away from the radical, filthy left. Remember Chuck Schumer out there threatening members of the Supreme Court, you will reap the whirlwind and all that lunacy.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price.
Now, gangs of Democrat Nazis are outside his house last night. 200 plus arrested at his house last night. Take that. But in any case, you answer your question, T-Bone. Yeah, I mean, a slightly larger, you say, believe his greatest accomplishment is keeping Merrick Garland off of the Supreme Court. And part and parcel of that is turning the tables on the Democrats and bringing Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court and giving rational people, conservatives who respect the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the rule of law to the Supreme Court. So the balance of power on the court, which the Democrats seek to abuse at every turn. And now, of course, they're threatening to pack the Supreme Court because they're so incredibly corrupt. But a good question. And Mitch McConnell, it's time for him to retire, of course. He should move on, and a new generation should take over, and maybe a Ted Cruz or something should take over. But a fighter, a brawler. And Mitch, he showed up for the brawl on that one occasion that was crucial. And many dominoes followed after Mitch McConnell, the turtle, showed up and fought that fight and won it, stuck it to the Democrats, control of the Supreme Court with three Donald Trump appointees. Hilarious. And, you know, now the Democrats are trying to get Sonia Sotomayor to retire because they're so afraid that Donald Trump is going to win again and get a fourth pick for the Supreme Court when Sonia Sotomayor, who looks like Jake LaMotta in the later years, you know, she might not make it. So they're trying to get her. They try to do that to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, too. Ruth Buzzy Ginsburg, the Gator. And that didn't work. And they were very disappointed when she died. Not because she died, but because they lost a seat on the Supreme Court. And that's what they care about. Not human life. Power. Now, next question. Dude, I'm the bag man. Dude, I'm the bag man is the person asking today's question. Has Mike the Lib ever attended Politics and a Pint? And that's funny. We laughed about that this morning. And dude, I'm the bag man. The answer is not as far as we know. Not as far as we know. It's possible that he showed up and hung out in the back of the room. You know, he was a career intelligence official for the United States government. Mike the Lib was. And as far as we know, he's never shown up. I've never met Mike the Lib in person. I'd be happy to meet Mike the Lib in person. I'm not going to hit him over the head with a bottle. Did you see the people attacking the police in New York last night and hitting the police, riot police, over the head with the 5-gallon plastic water bottle again and again and again? And amazingly, the police didn't shoot him. They should have shot him, I think. If I were on the jury anyway, I'd say, well, you know, he was kind of asking for it. That's Democrats. Not that I'm aware. I've not met Mike the Lib. I'm not aware that he's ever attended Politics and a Pint, but as a career intelligence official, he might have shown up in disguise and we wouldn't know it. He might have shown up because he's a Democrat dressed as a woman and we wouldn't know to look for Mike the Lib dressed as a woman, would we? No, we wouldn't. So, dude, I'm the bag man. As far as we know, the answer is no. But he's welcome at a Politics. And he is. Mike the Lib is welcome at a Politics and a Pint. And nobody's going to hit him over the head with a water bottle like Democrats do or throw stuff at him. People would just talk to him. It'd be nice if Mike the Lib showed up at Politics and a Pint. Tom with the next question. Add T-Bone, then dude, I'm the bag man, then Tom. Tom says, I'm always disappointed when I tune in and there's a guest host. However, I really enjoy Mike Opelka. I think you've said that you both are old friends. I'd be interested to know how you know each other. Well, I got to tell you, when I was a small child and we moved from Pelham, New York to Glenview, Illinois on the North Shore of Chicago, at that point there were five of us. I was one of five brothers then, and our sixth brother came along when we were living there. But we moved to Glenview, Illinois and started school at OLPH, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. Moved into a subdivision called Tall Trees, a place where they bulldozed all the trees before they put up the houses. So there were no tall trees, but they called it Tall Trees anyway. Now, all these years later, there are tall trees there. But Mike Opelka's family lived two or three blocks from us, and there were five of us then and then six of us. And there were eight Opelkas, if I have that correct. I think I do. Eight kids in the Opelka family, and we all went to the same Catholic school. OLPH. And that's where we first met the Opelkas and my older brothers and his older brothers and sisters. And we've known each other since first, second, maybe third grade at the most. And we hung out with each other. And Mike's brother writes pieces for the Wall Street Journal, a great conservative. Also, wonderful family, the Opelka family. And we've known each other since grammar school in Catholic school. And we keep in touch. We text on a regular basis. And he's a great host as well. Marty with an I asks, what's your biggest pet peeve? My pet peeve. A pet peeve. Me a pet peeve? I've got to say, I was talking about this morning too. I think people being burying their noses in their cell phones and their smartphones and not communicating with people is one of my big ones. And people driving Priuses. Just on GP, you know, because that's like that. Also, Bill has pointed out this morning, another one with you is grammar, poor grammar. And it's true. Now, I'm saving my last mailbag question. I have it in front of me, and I've got that coming up. But first, you know that the best-selling Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier uses Oxy technology, which helps to quickly destroy many viruses, odors, mold, and so much more in the air with thousands of five-star reviews online. You know it works like a champ. Any smell will vanish in just a few seconds with the thunderstorm being on. Odors from litter boxes and trash cans, cigarette smoke, even leftists are no match for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. The powerful thunderstorm sends out O3 molecules, and O3 molecules seek out and help destroy odors. These molecules even go behind and under furniture. Nothing can hide from the thunderstorm. And no filters that you have to buy on a schedule and replace and pay for again and again. None of that. You can hold one in your hand. No filters to replace. So start enjoying your home, your office again. Get several thunderstorms because right now you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for whole home protection. You're going to get 3 units for under $200. Put one in your basement, your bedroom, your teenager's room, at the office, any place you like to breathe clean, fresh air. All you have to do is go to EdenPureDeals.com. Right there on Al Gore's amazing internet, use the discount code Chris3, Chris and the number 3, to save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is Chris3. All right, one more mailbag question. And then we have more Democrat crazy coming up. They got crazy criminal transgender people and, you know, they're nuts. And I'm here to tell you about them.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
And in my last mailbag question, before getting back to the news, Chris, I'm old school, so I'll use this pen and ink approach for my mailbag question mailed in to the radio station here in Washington. Question, what was or were your major or majors in college, and did you graduate with a degree in them? That is a good question. This is from Matt in St. Louis, who asked me not to use his whole name because these are sensitive matters. I did not graduate from college. I didn't really care too much. I did go to Santa Barbara City College for a period of time. And I didn't get a degree from Santa Barbara City College either. I don't have a 2-year degree. I don't have a 4-year degree. I don't have a bachelor's degree. I don't have a master's degree. I don't have a law degree. I was kind of busy. I thought I had it figured out. And I'll tell you more than that, Matt, because I don't have a high school diploma. I've talked about this a bit before. I was asked to leave high school in my junior year. I was a little bit of a loose cannon. I was off on my own. One of 6 brothers. We were famous, not for anything good. And when I was kicked out of high school as a junior, I left the Chicago area and went to work on a freight ship in the Gulf of Mexico, chipping paint at the age of 17. And off on my adventure, I eventually came back to Chicago, and then I moved to Santa Barbara, where I had I had 2 brothers living, and I started City College there, but I never finished.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Yes, I know my educational background. It always sounds like I'm bragging. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. But after I was permanently excused from high school in the junior year and I went off to had a cousin, my cousin Tony. Tony O'Brien, he was working for a shipping company in Miami. And I went down there and chipped paint on a freight ship, a container ship, going to Costa Rica, Miami, Costa Rica, chip paint. Kind of helped me, clear my head. But then I came back and I wanted to move to Santa Barbara where I had a couple of brothers and go to Santa Barbara City College, real cheap, real inexpensive. And so I got my GED, the General Equivalency Diploma. And that's my highest level of education is a GED. No high school diploma. I went to a very nice high school, Nutria West. They asked me to stop coming there. I accommodated them. And then I got my GED. And then I went to Santa Barbara City College where I took everything. I took everything from philosophy to physics to mostly political science and history. And actually, it's a pretty good school. A lot of retired Ivy League professors went there because it's a nice place to live and they paid a lot of money. But I had a nice time. I went there for too long and I was just kind of shrugging. I'm like, yeah, you know, what's an associate degree going to do for me? I don't care. And then I made my way forward in life and stumbled my way here. Now, look at these people. Now, I mean, truthfully, I've worked in Washington at CNN and elsewhere over the years with Harvard and Princeton grads, and I'm not impressed. I've been up against them in some fashion or another all my adult life, and I'm not too worried about that. My mother taught me a lot. She was a good mother. And one of the things she taught me is to be interested in learning. And I've been trying to do a good deal of that ever since. So we have that. But that's fun. Yeah, GED. I think I have it at home somewhere, the piece of paper, the GED. That's it. It always sounds like I'm bragging, though, doesn't it? I don't want to sound like a braggart. So we got that going for us. Now, so many things going on today. So many things. Joe Biden was speaking at the White House a little while ago, and I think we have two sound bites for you. Biden signed a $95 billion foreign aid package, including $26 billion for Israel. $1 billion going to Gaza. Gaza, not the Palestinian Authority. Gaza means Hamas. Palestinian Authority, West Bank. They're no better. Maybe a little better, but not much. And $1 billion for what is right now the preeminent terrorist organization on the face of the earth, that is Hamas, waging war against Israel. Joe Biden funding both sides because we've got $26 billion in aid for Israel representing civilization. $1 billion for a terrorist group called Hamas, which is a genocidal, bloodthirsty gang of brigands out of the Middle Ages. And they get $1 billion. And Joe Biden is very happy about that. He signed the bill. The bill kind of stinks. Ted Cruz said he's going to vote against the bill because of the money for Hamas, the money for Gaza, $1 billion for Gaza. And, you know, I like and respect Ted Cruz. He's one of the smartest guys up there, one of the smartest guys up there in a long, long time. But Gaza will receive $1 billion in aid. And they say, oh, it's just for food. It's for food. They're very hungry. They're skinny little babies. And they don't care. They'll stuff them into microwaves. They use their own children as human shields. They could care less about human life. And they've got that in common with the Democrats, too. It goes for food and medical supplies and water, we need water. You know, the Israelis provide Gaza with their clean drinking water because the troglodytes aren't up to the task of desalinating water out of the Mediterranean Sea, which is what Israel does for the terrorists in Gaza. Now, Joe Biden at the White House just a little while ago before heading out for a speech. He wants to give a speech, but this is Joe Biden.
This bill includes $1 billion for additional humanitarian aid in Gaza.
It's humanitarian.
We're going to immediately secure that aid.
Immediately.
Surge it, including food.
Surge.
Medical supplies, clean water. And Israel must make sure all this aid reaches the Palestinians in Gaza
Israel.
Without delay. And everything we do
feed the
is
enemy.
Guided by the ultimate goal of bringing these hostages home, securing a ceasefire, and setting the conditions for an enduring peace.
He couldn't be a bigger moron if he set out to become a bigger moron. If he went to a like a postgraduate moron course, he couldn't become a bigger moron. You get the hostages out and you demand that they cease fire. Then you discuss. But no, here's that we're going to urge, we're going to surge the money in. It's urgent. We've got to get, and it's for food. Now, we've seen this again and again. Israel has delivered enough food to the Gaza during the course of this for all these people to die from obesity, choking to death on meatballs and spaghetti and meatballs. It's just ridiculous. I shared with you the study that came out a couple of weeks ago that show they're starving, the children are starving with the children. And they use the children as body armor. They, you know, hang little children on their front and back, and then they go get in gunfights because they're demented. But we've got to surge this in. It's just for food. They're not wanting for food because Israel has delivered so many truckloads of food that it is more than about 2 million people. It is more than they needed to feed 4 million people over the same period of time. And there is no food shortage. That is a lie being told today by Joe Biden and by a great many others. The urgent need for $1 billion to go to the terrorist organization. And then such an idiot at the end, he's like, oh, and the goal is to get the hostages back. Well, you don't give them the money first and then get the hostages back. I don't know. You've been on this earth for like a day. He gave Iran $6 billion, the world's number one state sponsor of terror under the Ayatollahs, $6 billion in exchange for 5 hostages. So lesson learned. They're holding hostages and they're sticking up the U.S. government, the U.S. taxpayer, for $1 billion. And they probably should have held out for more because the moron would have given them more. You get the hostage, and why? How long has it been? October 7th, they took the hostage. And how many American hostages? How many are living? It's impossible to say. Women hostages have explained the horrors of what they have endured and survived at the hands of these savages. And I won't go into all of it, but let your imagination run free and you'll be halfway there. Just extraordinary. And then, Mr. Magoo went wandering off the stage, bumping into things. Say, oh, I've got to go give paddles. They had to call in the paramedics with the paddles to restart him and give him mouth to mouth. And he's like, I got to go give a speech at a place with a hotel. And here I go. And a couple of questions were shouted.
I thank you all very much, and I'm going off to make a speech at a hotel I'm late for.
At a hotel.
I have plenty of time to answer questions on this and other matters.
Can I have a quick one on TikTok?
No, you won't. No questions.
Mr. President, do you have a message for the protesters on campus?
No questions. He's taking no questions. It's like the Soviet Union. Do you have a message for the protesters on campus? Yes, death to America. Death to Israel. That's his message to the so-called protesters on campus.
What do you think about USA? What do you think about the USA? It should burn! Death to America!
That's right. That's your Democrat Party. This is what they've raised, a generation of, you know, people that, if this isn't a civil war, it looks an awful lot like one. This is a Democrat Party that has abandoned America in favor of anything but America. Western civilization is not on their good list. These people are quite extraordinary. Let me tell you, your Democrat Party. All right, let's go to Senator Ted Cruz because he was on the television last night as well, and he was very strong talking about the radicals, the Democrats. Oh, by the way, Princeton University is now joining the anti-Semitic bandwagon, jumping on the bandwagon. Pretty amazing stuff. The traveling hate college tour will soon have a new stop, Princeton University. And the students there are preparing to establish an anti-Israel protest encampment. Honestly, fire trucks, fire hoses. I was talking yesterday, my best girl, about bringing in, you know, the airplanes they bring in for forest fires that drop like the red fire retardant. Can you say retardant when you're talking about these people? And I think, you know, the planes coming in like C-130s filled with red sticky fire retardant. I think that'd be perfect for this. But the anti-Israel lobby at Princeton University now has, and National Review has the story, the anti-Israel protest encampment will be established according to documents obtained by the National Review magazine. The students claim to have pro bono legal support and trained security. Time for the National Guard. Honestly, and Senator Tom Cotton is talking about the National Guard being taken out. Let's being called up. But the President of the United States is not up to it. And these left-wing governors, they're, you know, they would sooner build Auschwitz in New Jersey, I think. Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, he's from Texas. He went to Harvard Law School, but it didn't screw him up.
Listen, what we're seeing at universities is absolutely horrific. This anti-Semitism, this hatred, this violence, these threats directed at Jewish students should be utterly unacceptable. At Columbia University, the Orthodox rabbi advised Jewish students, go home and stay home because the university will not protect your safety. Columbia University also barred one of its own professors, a Jewish professor, from coming on campus because they concluded they would not protect his safety.
And I played some of that for you yesterday with the Jewish professor at Columbia. They canceled his swipe card so he couldn't get on campus. We learned that overnight they killed him. All right, they didn't kill him, but maybe tomorrow because they're still warming up. Princeton, Columbia, Harvard, Yale, NYU. Berkeley. There's a Berkeley story about these lunatics today as well, because they're standing up in Berkeley and demanding that Berkeley divest. They're all giant investment firms, all of these colleges, these universities. That's really what they are. They're not educational institutions. They're investment institutions. They're real estate investment firms. They all have billions and billions, quite literally, all the big ones, and certainly the Ivies all have billions and billions. Senator Ted Cruz on what we're watching in America.
These administrators and many of these faculty members side with the radicals. We saw an image this weekend of presumably a Columbia student, and by the way, by all appearances, not a Palestinian, but a young blonde woman, standing there with an Arab headscarf and holding a sign, and she's standing in front of several Jewish students behind her who have Israeli flags and American flags, and her sign says Al-Qassam's next target with an arrow at these Jewish students.
So they've got Al-Qassam, the death squad, part of Hamas, which is a death squad, and these people that call themselves liberals, who are the most privileged white people on earth, going to Ivy League institutions in the United States with somebody else paying for it. And Al-Qassam's next targets are the Jews standing next to him on campus. You know, at what point does one of these Jewish students show up with a baseball bat and say, let's talk? What was that, the bear Jew in, Inglourious Bastards, the Quentin Tarantino movie? Yeah, maybe the bear Jew might show up on campus one of these days. They'll hear the bat tapping the sidewalk as he moves toward them. It wouldn't be surprising, would it? No, it wouldn't. Senator Ted Cruz, the, you know, Al-Qassam.
Al-Qassam is Hamas's military arm. She is literally advocating that terrorists murder her fellow students. If you had any administrators that were sane, any student that advocates terrorist murder fellow students would be expelled on the spot. If you are threatening other students, you should be arrested and you should be expelled.
And what should we do about it? Because it's about time that brave, strong, cisgender, heterosexual men dripping with toxic masculinity show up on these college campuses and restore order to the United States.
I'll tell you what a real president would do. A real president would say Jewish students are going to be safe on our campuses, and if the universities will not protect them, the federal government will, and if need be, we'll send in the National Guard, like Eisenhower did when Democrat senators refused to integrate schools. A real president would say federal law enforcement will be there. You will not be subject to violence. But Joe Biden won't say that because he's terrified of ticking off the radical left in his own party.
The Democrat Party is the party of jihad. They're the party of Al-Qaeda and ISIS. They literally support a genocidal death cult, radical Islamic terrorist organization called Hamas, over Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu. Nancy Pelosi is demanding that Benjamin Netanyahu resign. Netanyahu should come out and demand that Pelosi resign and that Biden resign. The Democrat Party is lost. If you're a Democrat, you need to rethink where you are.
I can get the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
The both sides. There are good people on both sides, Hamas and Jews. Radical Islamic jihadi terrorists who are genocidal and Jews who are trying to survive in the world. You know, comme ci, comme ça. Little of this, little of that. That's Joe Biden with his both sides comment. Good people on both sides. Nancy Pelosi. I think she must be, she has some investments in Hamas, I think. She and her husband are making millions off of Hamas somehow. I just made that up, but it wouldn't be surprising. Nancy Pelosi thinks that the problem is Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel, and that Netanyahu should resign.
We reject the policy and the practice of Netanyahu. Terrible. What could be worse than what he has done in response? First of all, the exposure. See, his intelligence person resigned. He should resign.
Yeah, he should resign. You know, I think maybe Yahya should resign, the head of Hamas, but they're not calling for the head of Hamas to resign, Yahya Sinwar. Maybe Yahya Sinwar should resign. No, no, they have nothing to say about Yahya Sinwar, but Netanyahu, he's the problem. At New York University, where the neo-Nazis are gathering again, a Columbia University student went over to NYU to join her friends to protest against the Jews, and she was asked, what are you protesting?
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stop. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either. I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
She should be deported. And she's obviously from Indiana or something. She should be catapulted into the sea. Shark-infested seas. That's just, she has no idea. Neither one of these bimbos have any clue what they're protesting. I don't know, Jews, bad, genocide good against them. Joe Biden is going to deliver, is it the commencement address at Morehouse College in Atlanta on May 19th? And the alumni and students are already organizing anti-Semite rallies. Democrats.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.